Greetings, travelers.
Greetings, travelers. I was like, did it stop? Did it not stop? I wasn't sure. Yeah. Anyway, we are here. We are, well, I admit that might be giving too much credence to myself at this moment in time.
We have technically survived the spooky holiday by the time this airs. Well, hopefully we have survived the spooky holiday by the time this airs.
I'm not counting on anything happening. So
that's true. So if we are dead, enjoy this posthumous episode. So.
Yes, we've been. If we're mostly dead, beat us, please.
Yeah. Exactly. We accept all offering, and goth women are perfectly allowed to take pictures on my gravestone until the end of time.
Yes, Carrie has cleared this to be the case. I am witness to it. So
it's in my will, my last will and testament. So along with that, my tombstone should read, "Here lies Mark Muncie. If not, contact Undertaker immediately."
You should change that too. We're pretty sure this contains Mark Muncie.
Well, it was originally going to say contact Ash Williams immediately, but, you know, I thought that was a little too cool.
Good old Brucey.
But then after watching My Name is Bruce, realizing, okay, yeah, that's pretty much how Bruce would be in case of a zombie emergency. So.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So I just got on my glasses. So I have to clean it off. Do we have any breaking news? Is there any exciting news happening right now?
Well, we've had our share of UFO sightings, but that's because SpaceX has increased their launch windows. Callie even called me. He's like, "Dad, I know you're going to get a ton of emails from tonight because I saw one of the boosters landing and it was crazy and it looked just like a UFO. But I looked it up because I said, my dad said, look up SpaceX first. And guess what? There was a SpaceX launch 5 minutes ago." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're welcome."
Yeah, that's why we love you, travelers. We know there are other encounters out there. We do not discount every UAP UFO as SpaceX, but just please Google that before you reach out to us. If there is no SpaceX mentioned, send us the photos and the stories. We love them. So, but please don't just send, because there's a few of you out there and we still love you, but it's SpaceX. So that's happening. There's a lot of good scary movies this season too.
Oh man, we watched a ton. What was the new one? Good Boy, which is all from the dog's perspective, was amazing. It's been a good year for horror. I mean, we had Weapons was really good. Good Boy was really good. Sinners, of course, off the chart, amazing. So incredible stuff this year. So.
Yes. Yes, agreed. And I have to say, there's been some pretty good horror TV. Alien Earth has been pretty awesome.
I still haven't gotten to that. That's on the agenda. On the agenda.
Yeah, it is. It's very different, but I am not dissatisfied with it. So that might speak volumes.
We've been enjoying Haunted Hotel. The animated series has been a lot of fun. So
I could see that.
It's like a grown-up Gravity Falls, which that I say that with the highest respect. So because I love Gravity Falls. So anyway, enough of all that. We've got a deep dive today. We haven't done one of these in a while.
I know that this particular episode started with us talking about the fact that one of these creatures is one of our favorite cryptids because they're armed. We're all fans of the armed cryptids. Like, if you're not only a badass monster, but you show up weaponized, that, I mean, whole new level when you show up weaponized. Yeah.
Crazy.
I get that some creatures have claws and tails and teeth and all that, but when you bring, you know, claws to a gunfight, you know, so let's talk about these. And then that started you down a ridiculous deep dive, right? Well,
we were already planning on it because we wrote about it in Erie, Appalachia. We wrote about this person. And we just did their festival, the Goatman Festival in Popelick, Louisville, Kentucky. So we'll be getting to him pretty quick. But what it started me on was looking into other Goatman sightings. I thought I was going to delve into one, possibly two other ones, but I found some deep dives into some fun stuff that I was not expecting.
I can't wait, because I know one listener was telling me all about a goat man in Texas, which you said you found. So
yeah, I found a couple.
I contributed nothing to this episode based on that, other than I'm along for the ride. Let's do it. Let's do it.
So probably before we get to Louisville, I hate to say it, Louisville, there's a more famous goat man. And that one is up in Maryland. And that's in Prince George's County, Maryland. It is known as the Beast of Fletchertown Road, or the Fletchertown Road Goatman. Now, if you actually want to legend drip this, it's the corner of Fletchertown Road and Loxford Road. And it's a suburbs area and is completely surrounded by woods. Okay. And what happens there is teenagers, high schoolers mostly, go out there, and it's, you know, the nice area to go if you want to be away from the folks and do things that teenagers do in cars late at night, as you do.
Play Yahtzee.
Yes, yes. And give each other, what do they call it? Love smooches.
Did you never say that phrase again?
Well, it was Gravity Falls wasn't allowed to say hickey. So they had to come up with new words, and they were like smooch marks and things like that. That was allowed, but hickey wasn't. And they could have guys with axes, but they couldn't, you know, say hickey. But, you know, anyway, that just shows you where America's priorities are. But anyway,
that's crazy.
Something would come up on them, and it would cause vandalism, you know, damaging vehicles mostly and stuff like that. But guess what? It had an axe, and it was an axe wielding creature that would scare the hell out of kids, and they would drive away in a hurry. You know, there was all sorts of legend tripping to go goat man hunting, right? That was the thing in this area. So the folklore of this area is interesting, where maybe this was a shepherd who was distraught by teenage kids killing his flock. So he made a deal with the devil and is now back as the goat man. And then there was another theory that he was just some strange old hermit that lived out in the woods and was sick of these damn kids coming and doing naughty things. So he would dress with a goat head and carry an axe. And that was people trying to cut out the sci-fi fantasy version.
Okay.
But there was another story, because also in that area is the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, which is this.
That sounds ominous as hell.
Does that not sound like something out of the Umbrella Corporation's playbook or something?
Yes. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep. So we go in the Wayback Machine to 1971. All right. I know you're ready for that. You've got the bell bottoms.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the 70s immensely. I hope the Bee Gees were around. BJ for
I hope they were
around. In cars. Let's go play some Yahtzee.
Yeah.
With my husband. Okay.
71, and it wasn't, you know, remember that was the early days. We're still basically late 60s. But
okay.
Sally has to turn off the show right now. There was searching for the Edwards family had lost their dog near Bowie, Maryland.
Oh, I don't want that at all.
Yep. And the Edwards family were looking for it, and the dog's name was Ginger.
Okay.
But sadly, the body was found near Fletchertown Road. It was decapitated.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And now the residents were concerned that this is no longer an urban legend in their area. So there are more sightings right afterwards that were more Bigfoot-like, but had jagged horns. But every one of them said it had a shining object in its hand. So the axe becomes the most repeated element of every sighting reported at this point.
Okay.
Teenage kids, again, start seeing it a lot. So the story evolves now at this point, because now we've got a victim, more than just threatened with kids.
Yeah.
But they start digging into it, and people say that there is a geneticist at that Bark area, the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, that was a guy named Dr. Stephen Fletcher. And he supposedly was working on genetics of making goat milk healthier for humans. So supposedly he was mixing the human DNA with goat DNA.
Why does this, we're just talking about bad horror movies and everything so far you've said to me.
Yep.
Feels like an absolutely terrible plot for a horror movie.
And that's exactly what it is. There was no Dr. Stephen Fletcher. I think that just comes from Fletchertown Road, right? And people say, oh, it's his family founded it, and that's why the road's named after him and stuff like that. It's, people just want that to be a thing, right? But some people say that that's Bark covering it up because they don't want it let out that he was this. So either way, right near there, not too far away, is a one-lane bridge called Governor's Bridge.
Okay.
Those are, and this bridge closed in 2015, but it was over the Texan River. I know I mispronounced that, because I can't remember how they pronounced it when we were up there. This was a crybaby bridge. That's why we went to it when it was Crybaby Bridge. Remember, we were doing that big study on all the crybaby bridges, because there are a million crybaby bridges all over the United States, people. It's almost as common as Springfield. Anyway, the story of that was a mother threw a baby off the bridge, and you could hear the baby crying, and you'd see the mother ghost, a lady in white, on the bridge. Imagine that.
But
now the legend is that it was Goatman who stole her baby and threw it off the bridge. So here we are, two legends not too far apart that are merging. So now that bridge is Goatman Bridge, and you're supposed to knock three times on the bridge to summon the Goatman. And you're supposed to summon the Goatman, but dodge the lady in white. It's a convoluted legend there.
Seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, the person I recommend talking to, the lady who helped us when we were researching the crybaby bridges, her name was Karen Sue Rosen. She works at the University of Maryland Folklore Department. And she was basically the first person to start gathering these stories and start gathering these newspaper articles. She's the first one to figure out Ginger the dog tied into all this, because the Goatman legends go back to the 50s. But here we go in the 70s when suddenly it blows up. So she's amazing. Reach out to her if you want to know more about the Maryland Goatman. So,
wow.
Let's move on to the one we know, right?
Okay. Maryland Goatman. Are we going to put a link to her just in case anybody wants to go traverse this babies being thrown off? It sounds like a very poorly worded horror movie. Anyway, yes, Goatman.
Goatman, Maryland Goatman. So now we're going to the public monster.
Yes.
Hey, so our boy outside of Louisville, or just inside Louisville, now he also has the large axe. He is much more Pan-like in his appearance, where he's got the kind of the bear chest with the furry legs and the, you know, furry arms and the...
He looks more like a satyr.
Yeah, and much more satyr-like in his appearance.
Yes.
So that one was more Bigfoot with the sharp, spiky horns. This is the one with the more curled horns that, you know, we're used to.
I feel like that the one in Maryland looks a bit like Krampus.
A little bit along the same lines. A little bit along the same lines, based on the witness.
Krampus-like than satyr-like, and now we're more satyr-like. Okay.
Yep. And there are several legends of this one. We wrote about it in Erie, Appalachia. First one was that, of course, it was a circus escape monster that was captured in Canada and was on the train that went across the train trestle, and it escaped. So that now it lives out here. If I had a dime for every monster story where it escaped from a circus.
How many of them? Can we get a dollar for every time it escaped from something in Canada? Because that's hysterical. Yeah,
that's the other thing. Caught in the wilds of Canada and all that. The other thing was if all these circus animals were escaping from circuses, there were no animals in any circuses because they've all escaped.
And they were all mutated. So there was no norm.
Yeah. Mutated. Always. But anyway, so this one, now he uses psychic powers, hypnosis, and draws you out on the bridge. It draws you out on that trestle bridge. And that's where so many people have actually died from this. We discussed that. He is the only cryptid with an official body count, because we're talking at least a dozen have died on that trestle bridge looking for the monster.
Well, and really what the dying on the trestle bridge, like this is, it's a bit of a cleansing of the gene pool.
Sadly.
Unfortunately. So travelers, do not go walking along active train tracks.
Yeah.
Because
on any train track, to be honest. Yeah, you shouldn't go on any train track, to be honest. Because you don't know if it's active or not. So,
well, you want to be really careful, because I don't think people realize that some trains, depending on where they are, go really, really fast. Especially
and cannot stop.
If they're not expecting humans to be there. So trains generally operate on the assumption that there are certain legs where they can go a certain speed because there's no stops, there's no humans, there's no whatever. So if you put your very squishy human body into this, it creates a problem.
Yeah. And now, with all that, we'll go back into the Wayback Machine a little bit. We'll go to the late 1700s, and
now I have to have a corset on. I'm not throwing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I gotta wear the wig.
I
gotta wear stockings. What the hell, man? But anyway,
legs are begging for stockings, Mark. What are you talking about?
I do have good calves. All right. So John Floyd was a surveyor.
Okay.
And he was friends with this guy named George Washington. He was sent out to survey this area of Kentucky that would become where Louisville is. And he was there looking into the area. He had had a couple run-ins with the natives who were like, hey, you guys said you weren't crossing the Ohio River. And they're like, oh, no, it's the Mississippi River. And it was, you know, big to-do. This would become the Lord Dunmer War. But we don't need to get into that. But anyway,
y'all know you'd love to, though.
I would love to tell you everything about the Lord Dunmer War, but because it's one of those historical things that we don't talk about because it happened before we were a country. So we don't worry about that.
We're going to just move on because I can't let you pontificate in this course. Yeah. It's really tight. Well, so
anyway, he built a small thing in the area, had many clashes with the native tribes of the area. And this led to a thing called the Long Run Massacre, which, again, not going to get into details, but then he had a massive defeat, which is called Floyd's Folly. And now this is the area where that happens, because the river that goes under Popelec is the Popelec River, but it also is Floyd's Fork of the Popelec River.
Okay.
And now what it is some people say it was the chieftain here in revenge for the Long Run Massacre that summoned the Goat Man. And that is why this Goat Man doesn't carry a lumberjack axe. He carries a tomahawk. And that's the big difference between Popelec and Maryland's. So,
well, I will say this. This is now, we've heard many stories where the summoning of these kind of creatures, different creatures, occurred to do stuff. They just don't ever put them back.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
All right. So we're leaving Kentucky behind. We did love the Popelec Festival.
Yeah.
And now we are going to Texas. And we are going to go the first one in Texas. We've got a few more that we're going to do. We're going to do one more before the break.
Oh, wow.
This one's pretty famous. Not as famous as the one we're going to do after. But this is in Copper Canyon, Texas, right outside it. It's another bridge. Imagine, I don't know what it is, Goat Man and you know, Billy Goat's Gruff, maybe, while they all do bridges. But this is near the town of Denton. And this is a story that's been handed down for generations. And it haunts Goatman Bridge, which is the Alton Bridge. This was built in 1884. And it was a big thoroughfare. It's had a lot of supernatural creatures, and ghost hunters love it. And that's for other shows, right? Mm-hmm. So the most circulated version of this is that there was an African-American entrepreneur named Oscar Washburn. And his family tended a farmstead goat herd near the bridge. And it was pretty renowned for milk, cheese, meat, hides. He proudly hung a sign on the bridge saying, "This way to the goat man." And of course, it infuriated the local KKK, who plotted violence. We just watched Sinners not too long ago. On that night, late 1930s, a lynch mob comes out, stormed Washburn's shack, dragged the goat man to the noose waiting on the bridge, and threw him over the side. When they went down to confirm their handiwork, the noose is empty and there's no body. So now they start searching the area because they don't want him coming out saying what happened. And Goatman's family's still crying, but he was never seen again. But the vengeance spirit, we love a vengeance spirit, comes back. And so now this is one of those ones that says, if you knock on the steel of the bridge 3 times at midnight, or again, turn your car off, honk 3 times, then you are summoning the goat man. Now, this one is kind of zombie-ish with decaying flesh. You smell him before you see him. Glowing eyes that burn red. And the large, snarling, goat-headed man stomping in the wooded shadows. Again, kind of that maniacal satyr. And in this one, he's either carrying the heads of goats or the heads of humans in his hands. And this has
been... Why would one want to summon this creature?
Because it's playing with the devil, right? It's seeing if you can do it, seeing if it's real. And now some say that was actually the work of Satanists who tried to summon a demon. Others say it's the goat man's wife who was eternally searching for her murdered husband. And in some versions, her family was murdered, so she's trying to summon her kids back and got this. These go way back. So in the 1860s, the Copper Canyon Cowboys did lynch a Creole slave goat herder named Jack Kendall from the Tall Creek side tree, which is right near where the bridge stands. But when they did it, they strangled him too tight and it popped his head off. So that's where supposedly the headless body raised with voodoo and then used a goat head to replace his own. Whichever origin you go with, they do say that knocking on 3 times, it's again, you're mocking the Trinity, invitation to judgment. It's always the knocking on 3 times, right? So
yeah, and that last story again shows how absolutely horrible humans can be.
Yep, and now, as a historian, I dig down the rabbit trail. You will not find Oscar Washburn. You will not find Jack Kendall in any historical records. But that is common for 1800s. If you're a minority, they didn't care about you. They didn't put you in any documentation. And very rarely was it ever reported. But as one of my famous mentors, Charlie Carlson, once said, never let the facts of a story obscure the truths of the tale, right? I love that line. So if a history is kind of self-congratulatory or written of community, then they will cut out the problematic elements and romanticize it. So this is the kind of the same thing. Some, they romanticize the tale and all that. Give them names and it's got a story, right? I will say that creek had plenty of other critters that I was pretty scared of when we went there. So it actually had a gator So that was a surprise. Texas Gators, I forgot our thing. And my wife, of course, was happy about the snakes there. But that's the way it goes. But anyway, before I move on to the next couple famous ones, at the end, I am going to mention the real Goatman and tell you his story. But we're going to have to wait for that after the break.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Are we ready?
I think so. I think I'm ready. I hate hearing terrible history and how horrible we treated humans. It's not your fault for telling it. It's the people's fault for being complete asshats. But let's continue.
Yeah. Okay. So next thing you know, we're going to go not too much further away in Texas. We're going down to Fort Worth, into an area called Greer Island. And this one is creatively named the Lake Worth Monster of Greer Island.
That is too big to put on a bumper sticker.
So that's why it's called the Lake Worth Monster most of the time. Now, this one is actually posted on the Tarrant County Historical Journal website.
Wow. Oh,
and they have this quote. Are you ready for this?
I don't think so, but let's do it anyway.
Somewhere deep in the thick underbrush, the Lake Worth Monster hides. What he could write about people that chased, followed, tracked, and shot him may be as interesting as what people have said and written about him.
Wait, can you repeat that again?
Somewhere deep in the thick underbrush, the Lake Worth Monster hides. What he could write about the people that chased, followed, tracked, and shot him may be as interesting as what the people have said and written about him. That's on their website. So,
did somebody proofread that before that went on the website?
I know, it's a little awkward. It's a little awkward. So,
but anyway. Okay.
So now this one, again, he had a weapon, but not an axe this time. Five people claim they saw the monster break the limb off of an oak tree. And he basically snapped it like a toothpick.
Okay.
A man named Jim Stevens claimed the monster real big and human-like with burn scars all over its face, arms, and chest. And it jumped on the hood of his Mustang one night and hanging on until he crashed into a tree. A man named Alan Plaster snapped a grainy picture of what appeared to be a woolly beast walking through the high grass. Now, this was in 2000. Now, he dismissed the legend, saying it was probably somebody just playing a prank, but it looked like a woolly man in a Bigfoot outfit. So that's how he described it.
A woolly man in a Bigfoot outfit.
That was his...
I just can't even figure out what that description looks like.
Exactly, right? It's crazy. The Lake Worth Monster is just bizarre. So the legend's been passed down for years, generally at summer camps at the Nature Center there on Greer Island. And they often ask the kids about the monsters, and they all have different descriptions of it, of course.
Okay.
They've all seen it. But that grainy picture is a blurry freaking photo. That's pretty much all we can say about this is that it's a goat man in Lake Worth. They actually did a couple TV specials on it where they were investigating it. Nowhere near as much detail as the ones in Maryland or the ones in Louisville. So, but the Nature Center is full of mysteries. Just the biggest one is maybe that over the top one, according to Brian Dinkhouse, who's one of the runners of the Nature Center there. And it does sit on a 3,000 acres of woods and prairie. And every 4 years, they have the Lake Worth Monster Bash. And this one coming up will be the 50th anniversary next year. So maybe we'll have to try to make an eerie travel out to that one. What do you think, Erica?
I think so. I just think that I would like a pen, preferably red, to edit everything these guys have written, because it's just infuriating to me.
Yeah, if you read that site, it's I don't know. I don't know. What about you guys in Fort Worth, Texas? Do you guys speak a different dialect of English or something like that that we don't understand?
I love Texas. I've been to Texas.
Yeah, but many times. So
Fort Worth
a couple times. So
yeah, I think we could probably do an Erie Travels presents the dark. Let me think of a good title right here while we're on the thing. It's got to involve cowboy. The dark desert of the Texas frontier.
There you go. Oh, there boom. Go. Next
boom.
Title.
Done.
All right. Well, we have to leave Texas to go back up home to the Kodag. We got to go to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yep. And now they talk of legends of a half man, half goat that stalks the woods and back roads of Kettle Moraine State Forest. And he's got a temper, he's got the odor, but unlike most legends, we've got more encounters, recent encounters.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Our good friend of the show, J. Nathan Couch, wrote a book, Goatman Flesher Folklore. He mentioned that there are several legends going down numerous roads in Wisconsin. One of the ones he mentions is a marsh road in Wyawega. Oh my gosh. Try to pronounce that one.
That was a mouthful for you.
Yeah, Weyawega. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that terrible. He has reports of two kids murdered on a makeout couch in the woods with an axe. So Ozuki County, areas near Newburgh and Grady Park and Saukville, he says that there were a few sightings recent there. Now, the two most famous Goatman stories come from Washington County. Now, they have two roads, but each one has a completely different legend. South Mill Road, or Goatman's Road, and then there's one at Hogsback Road. Goatman's Road one, mostly unpaved, leads from Highway 28 through the woods, dead end of the Milwaukee River Floodplain State Forest area. Dirt road is a pain. Just saying that, we dried it after rain. No good. Mosquitoes were prehistoric in size. I think their appetite was prehistoric too. And if the potholes and the mosquitoes don't get you, you got to watch out for Goatman. So there's an abandoned house in the woods out there that's supposedly where Goatman lived. And his legend is that he was a violent alcoholic who beat his wife to death one night. And afterwards, he went out to beat up his goats, but one of them managed to mortally wound him, and he bled out on its horns. But he was too terrible to remain dead, so he once again stalks the woods as a goat man. And now this one, 2003, we had a hunter who saw him and recounted it. And it was bow hunting season. He was in his tree stand, and he thought he smelled something, and he was convinced, oh my gosh, I'm finally seeing a Bigfoot. Everyone tells me there's a Bigfoot in this area and I'm finally seeing him. But what he saw said it was about the size of a deer on two legs, but it was tan and gray in color, and it had the body of the goat with a human head and arms, but it had the long white goat beard. And it was actually talking and swearing and complaining that it was hunting for the trespasser. And he waited till it passed. He climbed down and never came back. So, yeah.
I that was so Travelers, that was just a pause when you eventually see this video episode.
I think Erica had a mini stroke there. She looked like she was having one of my epilepsy spells.
Seriously. So it was talking?
It talked. And that's when he realized what it was, that it was not a Bigfoot. It was not a, it was grumbling and it had a gravelly voice. And yeah.
Wow.
Well, okay. Not far from there is Hog's Back Road. And now this is around Holly Hill. And again, more ghost stories. We'll do that in a future episode. But Hog's Back Road is darts out of this one town. It literally is like a short road. But speaking of darting out, the goat man jumps across the road in front of people in this one, causing them to swerve and possibly, you know, wreck their cars. The woods, they say, used to be filled with rusting husks of cars that have never, you know, their owners never came back for them because this goat man scares them so bad they never want to go back. Now, this one goes all the way back to the 1870s.
Why do I keep ending up back in corsets on this particular trip? Whoa. Seriously.
Yeah. Now, this one was a young newlywed couple was trying to drive down the road to reach their new house when one of their wagon wheels broke off. A man said to the wife, wait, he'll run to town to get help. And she waited and she waited and she waited. And eventually she hears some noise and peers out, hoping it's her husband. Instead, she sees the hairy beast standing upright on two legs with horns and the long muzzle of a goat. She screamed and cowered in the wagon until morning. When he still hadn't returned, she began searching for him. And there at the edge of the forest, she found him at the base of a large oak tree, drenched in blood. And she found him just mutilated, dangling from the tree.
Like you do.
And it became known as the Hanging Tree before late. And so people would go there looking for a scare, and they would hang nooses to scare other people as pranks. But one of those went and said the goat man chased him away when he went to do that. So a Hartford woman once said that this is now a Halloween tradition, that you go to the tree and you hang a noose and spray pentagrams on it and all this. So goat man has definitely taken on satanic connotations in that area. Because this one does look very much like Baphomet in his style. Anyway, so that's the Wisconsin one.
Travelers, do not spray paint trees.
Yep.
And if you want to go out and see this, do that. Don't hang nooses. I'm sorry. No, we're going to hard pass on that.
All right. So now over to California.
Ooh.
And this is one of those ones that has a dumb name, so I'm going to save it for a bit. So I can only find this one like back to World War II. A muscular ape-like humanoid with long claws, gray hair, but it has ram horns on top of his head. And it lurks around the area of Santa Paula, which is in Ventura County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the area known as the Cumulus Ranch is specifically where this one's seen. Aliso Canyon Road. Occasionally Wheeler Canyon Road from a couple of my stories. There's a dairy ranch there that it gets its name from. And that's where its nest supposedly is. And the name of this creature that torments mostly high school students from Santa Paula High School. Imagine that, right? The teenagers are the ones who have mostly encountered this half goat, half man, half ape, whatever. That's three halves. I don't know. This one's definitely got a lot of stuff to it. But he's thrown 50-pound rocks at cars, pounded on the hoods of automobiles, leaving dents. He carries a large club, not an axe. He carries a big club. And in the 50s, a 9-year-old boy reported being attacked and clawed by a weird animal near this dairy farm, and he had scratches across his arms and back. And then in 1964, it terrorized several hikers for several hours and actually made local headlines in the newspaper. And 1964, a Los Angeles Times article reported that deputies found a young boy carrying a sword off to slay the beast. I want to be that kid, man.
Yeah.
The woman who leased the land had to once hold off 43 monster-seeking children with a shotgun to say, stop coming on my property. The name of this dairy? The Billywack Dairy and Creamery. So it's called, or the Billywack Dairy and Ranch. So this is called the Billywack Horror, or the Billywack Monster, or the Billywack Beast.
I am very disappointed in this. Yeah,
supposedly it has a ruin that it goes to. It was once a state-of-the-art modern-day farm, but it has access to underground rooms. And so that's where they're supposedly missing walls. And that's where it supposedly hides. And I've got so many stories like this. And of course, it's the product of government research and experimentation in some legends that the military started this. And now there's a whole bunny trail with this one because the OSS was there, which was our Secret Service back in World War II. And it was started by a guy named William Wild Bill, although some people called him William Mad Dog Donovan. And he was made the coordinator of an information, or the COI, in 1941, which eventually becomes the OSS. And the urban legend goes that he was performing experiments in Ventura County, was sent overseas mysteriously, and then when he returned to service, he came back to the ranch and was left there to his own devices. And that's when he created this monster, right? it's crazy. So whatever, it's fun.
It's fun. I have to say this, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a good creature creation. And we do know of several organizations that did experimentation on, you know, humans and animals and tried to mutate and tried to make different versions. And I have zero doubt some were successful.
Yeah. I mean, and then that area is also right near Ojai. And Ojai, we have a half monkey, half man there that we've got reports of from 1939. But yeah, we've talked about escape monkeys and stuff like that before. So
yeah.
All right. Before we go any further, I do have to talk about the more modern sheep squatch.
Yeah.
The white fang. And that's particularly in West Virginia, mostly in Boone, Kanawha, Putnam, and Mason. And they're in the early 1990s to the mid-1990s, there was a surge in sightings all over Boone County. And that's one of the things we're writing about in our next book, Dark Heart of Appalachia. Now, this one is described as a quadruped, about the size of a bear, with entirely white wool-like fur. Now, it has a long and pointed head, similar to that of a dog, but with long saber-tooth-like teeth and a single point set of horns, similar to those found on like a young goat. And its forelimbs end in paw-like hands, similar to those like a raccoon, but its tail is long and hairless, similar to a possum. And now this one supposedly smells like sulfur. And again, according to folklore, this one was also born in the TNT area of Mason County, which we know where Mothman comes from, right? Some people say that he was born in that area, created by something. So this thing may have come through the same portal or military experiment or whatever. Supposedly.
Yep.
All right. So 1994, we have a sighting from a former naval officer who witnessed it breaking through the forest, and it brushed through a tree. It came through a tree line and knelt to drink from a creek. And he followed it as it drank for a little bit, and then it went back onto the road and disappeared into the brush. Now, within that same year, two children reported it completely different, not knowing this guy or anything and not having read his report. They reported it was in their yard in Boone County, and they called it a large white bear because it stood up on its hind legs, making it 6 or 7 feet tall. But then it dropped down on all fours and chased after them. Now, 1995, a year later, this time was seen by a moving car that was in like a ditch next to the road. And they stopped their car to get a better look at it. Because what do you do? What is that? You know, and then, again, similar to those other descriptions, but they said the creature had 4 eyes, which is very different from some of the others. And it leaped out of the ditch and started to attack them. And so they drove off as quick as they possibly could. We got sightings in 1999.
Wow.
Where they were in the forest at night, again, Boone County. They heard snorting, scuffling, and then all of a sudden the sheep squatch jumps out at them. But they jump and ran back to their car and got away. And they even described it as an attack. But others said it's like a mock charge, like what bears do.
Oh, yeah.
But they said it let out a terrible scream when it stopped. When they went back to the area, they said the whole area was tilled up like something had, just gardened the area, basically just dug so many roots into it. And then the most recent sighting was 2015. Now, this is in Folks Run, Virginia, right up there. And this one, again, Forest of Appalachia, spotted close to midnight, but this time was 6 campers spotted it. And they said it was about 8 feet tall with a shoulder length of about 4 or 5 feet. And they saw it on a nearby hill in a crouching position. And then when it stood up, they yelled to the other campers, "What the hell is that?" And then it started running down the hill, but they were separated by a river. And they were watching it. It looked like it was searching for a way to cross. And then it just starts wading across the river. And guess what they did, Erica?
Oh,
they did you. They noped. They said, "Get the hell out of here." They said it looked like a bipedal dog in the chest with wet fur as it was crossing the river at them. And then it did a loud guttural bass screech. And they had friends who were 2 miles off that heard that same sound that called them, said, "Hey, did you hear that?" as they were fleeing. So now these guys, they reported it completely anonymously. I do have to say, our good boys from Mountain Monsters did an episode shortly thereafter called The Sheep Squatch Interpretation, where they went hunting and they talked to an eyewitness named Mason, who had seen it, another hunter named Rocky, who had caught it on trail cam and had also gotten some scat containing deer meat and corn, and then a craftsman who said that they saw a large brown creature smashing logs, suggesting that the sheep squatch attacks like a ram. Our good boys, Wild Bill and Willie, built a barbed wire trap. They broke up into teams to find it, and it rammed Trapper and Huckleberry's vehicle and escaped. So the goat man of Boone County escaped.
I like it.
Imagine that another creature escapes from our friends, Mountain Monsters. They got a great track record, guys, so. We'll put the link to that episode in the show notes. But, Erica, are you ready for the big twist?
Yes. Yes, please.
Should I tell you about the real goat man?
What does that mean?
It's a man named Charles Chess McCartney. Okay, so while I was researching this, I found this compelling person from American history that we must talk about. Because even I barely knew about him, but he was an itinerant preacher known as the Goat Man.
Okay.
So he was a young kid, right? And the circus came to town. He fell in love with the knife thrower, the Spanish lady. So he ran off with the circus to marry her. Of course, she left him. Because she wanted to go back to Spain, and he didn't. He was a young boy. He didn't want to settle down with that. So he became a logger and remarried.
Okay.
And he would remarry a couple more times. But a logging tree fell on him and crushed his left side. And the other loggers kind of left him for dead. And he laid there for hours. They took him to a mortician when they finally got the tree off. And once the embalming needle touched him, he sprang up and claimed God has saved his life. His arm never recovered, but he started building a wagon. And for 6 decades, this guy traveled across the United States in his goat-drawn wagon and was considered like a local celebrity. All right. And his newest wife said, well, it's either the goats or her.
So he chose the goats.
He had this great quote. He said, the Lord has said to set aside 7 women for every man. I've had 3. Other men can have my other 4.
He sounds so fun.
Oh, yeah. He had 12 goats and 2 backup goats that would drive his wagon. He sold postcards and took pictures to get by. He'd burn tires around town to gather crowds. And now he did this till the 60s. And like Forrest Gump, people thought he had money that he was hiding. But in 1960, he entered the presidential race. He went to every state except for Hawaii. And the reason he didn't go to Hawaii, he said his goats couldn't swim that far. So.
Wow.
He traveled mostly in the Appalachians. But I'm wondering if his appearance and stuff might have kind of inspired some of the Goatman legends in other areas. Because he wore goatskin clothes. I mean, he looked like Robinson Crusoe type character, right? He had a really terrible smell because he slept with goats and slept on the road, right? One person quoted, you could smell he was coming before he rose. And he kept this unkempt beard. He had a junk wagon that was just piled with random stuff he'd collect on the side of the roads. And that just kind of added to him. And he would do these, big fire and brimstone speeches when he'd get into town about damnations of fire, of hell. And it just made him intimidating and awesome. So this was just his nomadic lifestyle and his closeness with the animals. And so
looking at these pictures, this is just magical.
Oh, he's an amazing guy. There were a few times he got chased out of town. In the 1940s, some people thought he was a Nazi spy and that he had a radio hidden in his stuff. That's because he was going all over town and wasn't being tracked. So police pulled him over, tried to search for it. Of course, no radio. One time he was in L.A. trying to meet Morgan Fairchild, because why wouldn't you try to meet Morgan Fairchild if you were in L.A.? And he got mugged. And that was about the time he started thinking, maybe I'm done with this. Shortly thereafter, a truck crashed into him, killed 8 of his goats.
Aww.
His wagon was set on fire in Chicago after one of his sermons. But in Chattanooga, in 1987, some men came in and slit the throats of his goats and took his last $3. So he had a few goats left. He sold those to Disney World. And he retired to Georgia, where his house was burned sometime after. And so he moved to a nursing home in Georgia, where he lived to be 97 and died in 1998.
Wow. That's actually kind of a magical story. Yeah. That would be a fun adventure if there was any documentation of his travels to do the Goatman track.
Yeah, just do the yeah, because he just went all over. I have a postcard of his in my collection. He was kind of his own roadside attraction that traveled the world. So he was an Erie traveler before there was Erie travels. How about that?
And Erie travelers, if you're going to travel, travel by goat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
So, Erica, what do you think of all these goat men and sheep squatch?
There are some that seem very questionable.
Yeah.
There are others that it's just really interesting that people see them. And I, preternatural. What the hell are these things? Because people are seeing something, right?
Yeah. And
the last goat man might be my favorite, though.
I like Chess. Yeah, Chess is a pretty cool guy. I gotta say there were, people were unhappy with him, but I get it. To each their own, man. We have, just relaxed and groovy, right? That's what we got to be. We got to be relaxed and groovy.
Well, you know, if somebody wants to come into town with a bunch of goats and pontificate, let them do that. You don't have to watch it. Here's the cool thing. Very much like television, if you get annoyed and you can change the channel, takes 2 seconds, maybe. Yeah. Similarly, if somebody's saying something you don't want to hear, you may walk away.
Walk away. It's all you got to do, gang. All you got to do. So if you don't like to hear this on Eerie Travels, turn us off and go find something else. We don't mind. We appreciate it. But for those of you who do stick with us, we love you.
We do love you.
We especially love
travelers.
Yeah, we love our travelers that meet us at events. We had another one bring us pictures, Erica, to have a sign at a recent event. So
you keep having one when I'm not there, so I'm starting to believe that doesn't happen.
We had this one. This one, they had a picture of Carrie that they had Carrie sign, which was a first. So they had a wild Carrie spotting and they had Carrie sign it, which is, you know.
That is a rarity. It's like a wild bow signing.
Exactly. That's almost as rare. So
yeah.
Thank you, gang. The book is out there. If you want to get a good holiday present, get Dark Side of the Smoky Mountains, available from your favorite local bookstores, or order it on our website and try to get it as quick as we can to you signed if you want. So that's the best we can do. And I'd say do it soon because the holidays are coming quick and got to give us a little lead time to get that out there for you. So, oh my gosh, what fun. And go to eerietravels.com, see where we're going to be. We slow down a little bit over the holidays, mostly because we're working on the next book. It's our slow time and able to do it, but early next year is already booking up. So, man.
Yeah, and if you want to have us at one of your events, reach out. We'd love to come to one of your events and see your weird cryptids and get to know them. Because, you know, it's not all about the Mothman.
Nope. Tell your local events. If you want us there, let them know. Hey, Eerie Travels would be great guests. And we're cheap, gang. We're cheap.
And Mark's pretty easy, not going to lie.
Yeah, not going to lie.
Mark, so, how the heck are you going to take us away from all this?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So when you're out traveling the dark roads of Wisconsin or Lake Worth or Maryland or Louisville, Kentucky, and you come up to a strange bridge that you've never seen before, knock 3 times. And hope that if you hear that neighing, it's just the billy goat's gruff. Because if that goat man comes out with the axe, you better nope out of there and get to the other side.